Even before a single ballot was cast by members of Rwanda's 40,000 diaspora community, the outcome of Friday's presidential election was already decided, according to President Paul Kagame. He said at a mass rally on July the 14th that he would be lying if he said he didn't already know who the winner was. He told his supporters, "I've come to ask you, do you still agree with the results of the 2015 referendum? If you do, then yes, the election is a foregone conclusion." That referendum, of course, was about changing the constitution to allow him to run for a third term and potentially stay in power until 2034. For today's election, he's up against two opponents, the Democratic Green Party founder and leader Frank Habineza and Philip Mpayimana, a political outsider who spent 18 years out of the country. But despite this appearance of fairness, Rwanda's former Prime Minister, Faustin Twagiramungu, who led the country between 1994 and 1995, just after the genocide, says these polls are anything but fair.
Those other candidates are simply playing a game to show the international community that the election has taken place. I don't think that this election should be qualified as a kind of ordinary election. It is something rather which we can compare to a kind of a coronation.
Twagiramungu, like many critics of Kagame, accuse him of stifling any dissent and forcing his opponents into exile or jail. But if you talk to ordinary Rwandans, it's a different story. Richard Gisagara, a Rwandan lawyer who's been living in France for 10 years, can't praise Kagame enough.
I'm really excited for voting today because as a citizen, I think voting is really a right which should be used by any citizen because it's a big tool for democracy. It's an important tool to participate in the life of his own country. I'm voting for President Kagame because I think he's the best person we need for Rwanda. He has a very good track record today, and there is no reason to doubt that he's not going to continue with the same result.
Kagame supporters credit him with reviving the economy and reducing poverty, making Rwanda the envy of other African nations. But former Prime Minister Twagiramungu says he doesn't care how good development is, it can't buy freedom.
We did not fight to develop Rwanda only. We fought for our freedom. If we don't have freedom at home, I don't see how we can be satisfied with Kagame's development.
The unlucky candidate of the 2003 elections also accuses the international community of complicity with Kagame's government.
The international community, I must stress, is supporting Kagame because the international community failed to intervene in Rwanda to stop genocide. And Kagame himself, he did stop the genocide. But this should not be the reason to give him credit of pretending that he has developed Rwanda while we are living under a system of dictatorship.
Unlike Twagiramungu, very critical of the West for blindly supporting Kagame, Gisagara, for his part, criticizes international powers for operating double standards.
I can take the example of Merkel, the Chancellor Merkel in Germany. This is going to be his fourth mandate, but no one is saying that she's a dictator. Why it would be a problem for President Kagame in Rwanda if the Rwandese population want to continue to have him as a leader?
It's a question the West will struggle to answer, given its tarnished record in failing to halt the genocide. Kagame's opponents claim Western governments today are overcompensating by avoiding criticism of a leader who, they say, exploits the past for his own gain. For his supporters, meanwhile, the fact that he put an end to their bloody past is credit enough.